For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to have your in-laws meet your parents? Neither are we. It's already happened. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a busy week in my world. Mm-hmm. A lot of like very stressful stuff going on, but
yeah,
not personally, just like with my surrounding, and not even my job, just like my non-job just job.
The world?
No, not the world. Like, I've already resigned to that being terrible. Like, my side hustle that makes me no money, that's not this side hustle.
Gotcha. Well,
I feel like I have a lot of things on my plate.
Yeah.
People don't know, you know?
People don't have the amount that you have on your plate.
Regular work. I have podcasting. Mm-hmm. I advise little children at my sorority,
mm-hmm.
and that causes me a lot of strife,
yeah,
for no reason. I've been thinking a lot about that this week. Sometimes I go to Stitch Club, like, you know, very busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The latest strife in my household is that we're dog sitting, and
oh no,
it's a lot
for but- Rosie. Is that
Shirley?
Same difference. Whatever.
But she leaves today, so good. All is
send
good.
Her away. So if you hear any yappers, it's not her normal yapper.
No, it's the other one,
the new one.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about yappers. We're here to talk about Felicity, season 4, episode 3, Your Money or Your Wife. No sign of Natalie. Thought we were going to see Natalie.
No, it's very money centric.
Everyone, money. Ain't it funny? Everyone needs money this episode. And you know what? Money makes the world go round. So unsurprisingly, all of our young 20 somethings are struggling here. Yeah, yeah. How deep are you going to talk about your financials in this episode?
I have an entire spreadsheet to bring up with all. No, I'm just kidding. I do not have a spreadsheet with all my financials.
Oh, I do. Really? You don't?
No, I mean to show on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, like as everybody knows, I will talk about anything on this podcast except my what was that thing? Karaoke song. That's the only thing I won't talk about. So I found a lot of these money issues in this episode pretty relatable, particularly like Sean and Sean's entire experience in this episode. So I'm kind of excited to kind of dive into it.
Do we want to start with Sean?
Yeah,
I feel like this is the biggest Sean episode we've gotten in a while that doesn't have to necessarily do with his relationship with Megan. We learn more about the struggles that he has. We meet his family, which I feel like informs a lot of, you know, why he is the way he is. And it all kind of starts off with Megan being like, listen, my parents are not super happy that I married you, and they don't really know you well. So
I feel like that's the thing. Like, I mean, I think that it could have been anybody that Megan brought home, but isn't happy that I married you. At that point in time of the conversation, that wasn't it. It was just that like we got married without telling them and without them.
So they're upset and understandably, right? Like this is a big thing. You know, I'm not surprised that Megan's family is upset about this, given that like the little that we know of them, they do feel like they really care about Megan and really care about the importance of like their family. And so they want to meet Sean. They want to meet Sean's parents. So Megan is very much pushing for this. Sean is very much against it. He is like specifically his father. He's like, I don't want to have to deal with my dad. And I guess his issue with his dad is that his dad is a tryhard.
Yes, I think like that's a part of it. But I think that really his issue with his dad stems from the insecurities that he feels within himself and that he sees a lot of himself in his father. And I think that's like a mirror into how he views himself and his own place in this world. And it's so interesting. And I really, really like what the show did in this episode to kind of talk about how like relationships, family relationships, and like the things that you, like you don't like about yourself can be mirrored from like what your parents how you see yourself in your parents or how like your parents it like so I'm really excited to talk about that because it's really really interesting and I once again I find that like very relatable but at first glance I agree like I think that's like the try hard situation of like, oh, you know, he comes and he's like in a suit. Like, why can't you just be like a casual dude? Like, why can't you just do this? But then like, as the episode goes on, it's like, well, he's like always trying to like sell his inventions to other people, whether it be like Sean's friends or like friends' fathers or mothers or whatever. And it's like, how many times since the beginning of the show have we seen Sean do that? And I think that it's just so interesting because like, obviously Sean sees his father as like a failed inventor / salesperson, somebody that doesn't have a ton going for him that isn't that successful, which is also the stuff that Sean hates about himself. So I just found it really really interesting, really poignant. And I very much enjoyed it. And it kind of made me think about like my own relationship with myself and my parents. I guess like specifically my mother and like thinking of like some of the qualities I don't like about myself and some of the qualities I don't like about her, or some of the things that like I really stifle within my own personality. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm sorry, I'm like going on a tangent, but I just find it so interesting. It's not a tangent, it's relevant.
Yeah.
Like, I really do not allow myself to feel anger, or like my relationship with anger is really skewed. I see anger as like a horrible thing, like raising your voice, like, you know, having a tantrum, or like acting out as really, really bad. And that's because my mom is extremely quick to anger. So I like stifle that part of me. Like I really don't let it out. So I have a very like weird relationship with anger itself. And it stems from like my mom. And whenever I do feel angry, I feel bad about myself, because in my mind, like anger is bad.
Yeah, it's a negative emotion. Yeah.
Negative emotion. So like I find it very interesting, because like I found that relatable. Like that, like the thing that I hate about myself, whenever I start feeling like fired up, like I'm like, you're bad. Like it's bad. And it's because like how I view my mother. Mm-hmm. So I just found like this whole thing very interesting. And I think like it could be extremely relatable, especially, and you'll tell me, Jessica, like, can you relate to this at all? Like you have like a pretty good relationship with both of your parents, and I've had like, you know, like some issues with like my own family. So I just want to know if it's like a universal thing, or is this just like a thing that like people that have like weird relationships with themselves and their parents have?
Yeah, I mean, I would say certain aspects of this are relatable, in that I think relationships with our parents are often very complicated, right? Like they raise us, but then also we, especially if it's, you know, we share DNA with them, it's like, or even not, you kind of, I think sometimes the idea of being like one of your parents is a very scary idea. Yeah. Especially if you view those things as maybe negative, or something that negatively impacted you. So I can understand Sean getting frustrated with his dad, especially because they are a lot alike. And I think a lot of the negative feelings that Sean has about himself, he views as a product of his father's, like something that is coming from his father. And so knowing that he's struggling with money right now, knowing that he, you know, wants to invent things but isn't necessarily the most successful at it currently, a lot of that I think reminds him of his father, and then also like makes him think negatively about himself. So,
and his father in turn.
And so, his father. So it's all very complicated. Like I would say I relate to this in the way that the older I get, the more I realize I am a lot like my own father, for better and for worse. I think there are times when it's a really great thing. Like he is extremely creative. And anytime I have any sort of like creative moment, I think of him, because I love my mother. She is not creative. That is not a strong suit for her. So I know it stems from him. And I'm very grateful to have that, you know, genetic makeup, or have learned something from him. All of those things I think are really, really beneficial. But there are other times when maybe he's like quick to anger, or he gets very frustrated very easily, or like he's very particular about the way he wants things. All of those things are in me as well. And so I think it just makes things very complicated. Mm-hmm. Because I love my parents. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're always right, or that like everything they've given me is 100% perfect. You know, there's always going to be downsides. And so I also think it's very interesting, especially when you involve in-laws, and like there's multiple sets of parents coming mm-hmm. together. Like it's all very difficult and fraught, because Sean both wants to impress Megan's parents, who I don't believe he's met, or maybe he's met, but I don't think so. I mean,
I have the assumption, I could be wrong, that she's never met his parents, but he's met her parents.
Yeah, because he's gone to their like summer houses and stuff. So yeah,
I don't know if that was an incorrect assumption, but like that's definitely kind of how I read that.
So yeah, so we're banking on not only he wants to impress his Megan's in-laws.
Because also Megan said, like, my parents don't know you. So maybe they've never met.
Yeah. But he wants to impress them. And on top of that, and that is something he can kind of directly control in a way, right? He can control his own behaviors. He can control where they go for dinner, right? Like, he has a level of control over those things. What he doesn't have control over is anything his parents might say, specifically his dad. Yeah. That I can very much relate to, because, and this is not anything negative against my parents necessarily, but when my parents first met my husband Will's parents, I was a little nervous because they're more reserved, they're quiet. They don't swear, they don't drink. Those like parents, they're very straight-laced in that way. Not that they're like buttoned up necessarily, but they're my parents by comparison are completely off the wall. Like, you never know what my dad is going to say. And so like, it wasn't necessarily that I was nervous because my parents are good people. So it was nothing like that I was concerned about. It was more like I have, for lack of a better term, like dampened myself down into what I view as like an appropriate version of myself to present to Will's parents, and them meeting my parents and me all in the same time. Yeah. It's harder to control that sort of a thing. So that I understand Sean being like very hesitant, very nervous. And all of this is happening. So like, all this is very stressful to begin with, right? Like parents meeting parents without all the money troubles he's having on top of that. And without, like, he starts off the episode trying to buy a ring for Megan. Like, obviously they got married on a whim, right? Like, they got married very quickly.
Yeah.
But he's trying to buy her a ring. He can't even afford a ring for her. And like, you know, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, oh, well, her parents are going to be like, oh, you married this like schlub who can't even buy you a ring.
Because,
you
know, they're from money as well.
Exactly. And it makes it 20 times worse, right? The fact that they're from money, and he is not necessarily doing well financially. And also he doesn't come from a family that like necessarily has the best, you know, wealth, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, and they're just like from two different worlds. Like, I don't know if this is a true statement, but I felt like Megan's parents, when we've met them before, they felt like very either Midwestern or like
definitely
Pennsylvanian, like something along those lines. And like, Sean's family is definitely either like Brooklyn or Long Island, New York.
Long Island, because they had said they said the name of the city, and it was definitely Long Island. Yeah.
So like, it feels like two different worlds. And also I find it relatable because like my family is Jewish from New York, and Adam's family is like Christian from the Midwest. And like, I found that extremely relatable as well. And I was very, very nervous about meeting our parents meeting. In reality, they get along a lot, but like, probably too well, honestly.
Well, that's the thing, is everyone's an adult. And unless your parent is like really off the wall, right? Yeah, like, they're all adults. They all can get along. You know, it's temporary, right? Like, it's not like they're going to be living all together or anything.
Yeah, so they got along great. But like, I mean, like, honestly, like, my mom is like a Jewish lesbian and like from New York. And I just felt like they were from like two different worlds. So I was really, really nervous. I think that it did go better. They get along fine. But I know Adam was really nervous as well. I was nervous.
It's just a nerve-wracking thing in general. And so like,
That's
in
true.
That way, the stuff Sean and Megan are going through is very relatable. Now where I get, I don't even know, frustrated is the word. I honestly have sympathy for him. But I don't know that Sean has been sharing any of his financial insecurities with Megan. And I feel like that is not great. I think that especially if you're married at this point, like legally this impacts her. And so she should, and beyond the relationship trust aspect, like she should be made aware. Like we find out he hasn't paid rent since like July. He's kind of like dodging the like co-op for the apartment building. Like, this is not great, and it Sean doesn't really have a viable solution. Now, Sarah, does he – I'm trying to remember. He's vaguely randomly done, like, one-offs at Dean and DeLuca, but his job is just, like, inventor, right? Like, we've not seen him work, like, a normal 9-to-5 sort of a thing.
I really do not remember him ever working at Dean and DeLuca.
He did a one-off thing, the episode where when Ben was having sex with that lady who was married, he like worked at Dean and DeLuca one time, but that's the only time I remember seeing him.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, I feel like Sean's always kind of been like a question mark. I think that like we assumed that like he went to NYU at one point. We find out in this episode that he never even went to college. Mm-hmm. Like I've never really seen him have a job, but he seemed to have like this really nice loft apartment that like, so it was really a mystery. Like I don't know if he like had one invention at one point and just like made it big. I know that he like worked in vending machines, and like actually from TikTok, I've learned that vending machines do make you a decent amount of money. But like, I really don't know. Like, I don't know if he's just like in deep credit card debt. Like, we did learn that at one point. I know that there is like a time where he was going to co-sign for Ben, but then we find out that Sean's financial situation at that point in time wasn't good enough for him to co-sign for Ben. So I don't know if he's just been like racking up credit card debt, which is also kind of relatable for me to rack up credit card debt in my 20s and really fuck up my credit. Which, by the way, I'm happy to say is totally fixed now, thanks to my husband who puts me on a very strict regiment, but actually it just like very much worked. So thank you, Adam, for that. But I feel as though like I guess in my headcanon, like he made one invention, sold it off to somebody, to the sharks, and then made a good amount of money and then has just been kind of like living off that for a while. I don't know if that's true, but
I think that tracks to me when we have said like, oh, we really liked his like disposable camera vending machines. Like I think that had the potential to make him a livable wage to like get by, but now he's in a real bind where like literally he can't afford to pay rent. And Sean reads to me, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, Sarah, but like we've seen in the past him like let Ben slide by on rent, like he's covered Ben for rent. Like he seems like a very generous person with his money to his own detriment.
Oh, that's so relatable for me as well. Oh my gosh, there's been times when I was younger that I would literally plan an entire like bachelorette party or bridal shower or something, spend like all the money that I have, put it on credit cards, and then not be able to pay my bills. And it's like I'm doing this thing for somebody else, but then I can't like take care of myself. That's so relatable for me as well. And like, I mean, it just like kind of speaks to how like I value myself versus friendships. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I think that he is like, he is trying to help others to the detriment of yourself. Like, it's kind of like you can, I remember there was this like one time where I like gave to like charity. Like, remember the Australian wildfires? And like,
yes. There was,
like, I felt so bad because like all the little koala bears were dying. I think I had like $40 in my bank account, literally. And I donated $20 to the koalas. Like, like it's not normal. Like you can't be giving like half of your money two.
Well, it's the same thing of like they say on a plane, like always put your face mask on before helping others. It's the same philosophy. And that's how Sean reads to me, at least, is he very much reads as a person who is very charitable with what he does have. Probably thinking one day I'll hit it big and then like I'll have so much money. But yeah,
I mean, my thoughts were always like, you know, in 50 years, am I going to be happy that like I threw this party or that I did this thing or I gave this money?
Yeah.
Or am I going to be sad that if I was 25, 27 and had zero money in my bank account? Like I was like, that was my mentality. Like, oh, I'm going to be happy because I did something back then. But yeah, it's definitely to his own detriment. So he can't afford the ring. He can't pay the rent. And like the co-op lady is like threatening him a little bit. They're like, you know, if you don't take care of it, we're going to have to evict you.
Yeah, this is brutal. And so he is like desperate to find, again, he's going back to his roots in terms of finding an invention that will make it big to then get him a windfall of money and be able to pay all his bills and fix all his problems. And his idea is flavored pen caps, because people tend to chew on their pen caps, and so making them flavored. I don't think this is his worst invention, but I also don't think it's his best invention, because the idea, like, first of all, it's a bad habit to do that anyway. And like, think about how gross a pen cap is. Like, it's roaming around in your purse or your backpack all day, and then you're putting it in your mouth after your hands have touched it, and hands are probably like the grossest thing.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a pen cap chewer. Like, I feel like that was something that I did when I was a kid, but also I've spent like too much money on my teeth to like ever think to put something in my mouth that isn't like food. So I don't think it's like his worst idea, but I also like, I don't think it's like, I don't think 4 out of 5 dentists would approve of this.
No.
Honestly.
And a lot of what he's doing is also like very transparent in terms of he finds out, oh, Noel's going to move, right? Noel comes into all this money. And then he like pitches this to Noel as like, oh, do you want to be an investor? And this storyline, Sarah, it's obviously we've seen it a lot of times across different versions of media, but like there's like the Office like storyline involving this sort of a thing where it's like, oh, do you want to there's a really great opportunity, an investment opportunity. And it's so cringe. Like, I would so much rather Sean be like, hey man, like I'm really struggling with some bills this week. I know you have a lot of money. Like, I let you stay here rent free for like whoever knows how long. I would much rather he say that than be like, I have an invention that's a great investment opportunity.
It's pride. It's so pride and money stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, as somebody that has had money issues, it's so embarrassing as well. Like, I don't know. Like, I can go into so many personal stories, but I guess it's like, it doesn't matter. It's just like, it's so embarrassing. And once again, like, I really think that scene is like a perfect reflection, like parallel to his father trying to do something similar with his like screwless office chair.
Screwless chairs. Which is better, flavored pen caps or screwless chairs?
I think the pen caps, only because like I have built many a chair and it's not that complicated.
That's where I land, in that you only have to put it together one time and then you're done. Like, the only market I could see, Sarah, is what if we're marketing these screwless chairs to like college students or like people out on their own for the first time. It's like, are you tired of putting together IKEA furniture? Like, get your screwless chair, maybe. But like the flavored pen caps, I could see being like a novelty item that probably would sell better than
maybe
a
I don't
chair.
Know
especially because a screwless chair feels like it'd be expensive to manufacture.
It does. I guess like I think that like I see the pen caps being like a novelty thing at like Spencer's Gifts, but like honestly, like how much money can you really make from that? Like, who is buying it?
Right.
I don't really
either. Either one is not super great, which maybe says something about like, you know, how they are as inventors to begin with.
I love it.
It's just like, it's shitty. It's sucky. It's hard to watch Sean struggle and then watch his dad struggle and watch them like not, because all you want is to throw them in a room together and have them hash it out and have them like connect over the difficulty that, you know, of what they're going through.
But yeah, I mean, they get there at the end, but like a lot of the drama of like the fighting and the canceling of the dinner and the brunch, and then the blow up at the brunch, like that all had to happen before they have a conversation. I did think that the casting for Sean's father and brother was like pretty good. Like I can see Sean in both his brother and his dad, which I thought was good. And I thought that it was like kind of like cute to see like his mom come in and say to Megan, like, oh, you're gorgeous. Like, you're perfect. Like, we were really nervous at first, but like, I see you and you guys are great and you're gorgeous. It felt, I mean, not my Jewish family, but it felt like very stereotypical, like, Jewish family, like, Fran Drescher adjacent type of thing. Like, so I really enjoyed those moments. And, I mean, like, the dinner blow up, like, is Sean's dad like in the wrong here for trying to like you know what the word I'm thinking about? Okay, I'm broken.
Oh, like hawk something, hawk. Like shill it. Yeah. He's trying to sell Megan's parents on the screwless chairs.
Yeah, like is he in the wrong here? I think
yes.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a faux pas. It's a social faux pas. Like, I think this is not the time nor the place. I think this is a time where you are meeting your son's in-laws. Like, it is inappropriate to then try to sell them something, no matter how rich you think they are. It's just inappropriate. I would be uncomfortable with it. I would be annoyed if it was my dad doing that. So I understand like Sean being upset.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is he is obviously your parents, for better or for worse, can be a reflection of you. And I think he is just like trying to put his best foot forward. He doesn't want to give off the wrong impression, especially because it's made 20 times worse there by the fact that Megan's parents are well off and are so like, not straight laced, but like normal. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like normal, by the book.
Normal in the way that like they're too normal. Like I feel
they're like, boring, right?
I like, them, like very buttoned up, maybe is
yeah.
The word.
And like who wants that truly? Like it's so funny.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot about like in-laws and parents and all those things. My parents differ very much from Will's parents. And we've talked about this, about how like his parents are. I think in the normal world, you'd be less concerned bringing his parents to a dinner to meet new people. You wouldn't have to be worried about what they'd say, what they'd do, if they'd be inappropriate. You wouldn't have to worry about that at all. My parents, you would, but also my parents are a vibe. Like they're a fun time. They're going to have a good time.
Are you ever embarrassed of your parents?
I have been, sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, mostly my dad will say things and I'm like, Dad, you can't say that anymore. Or like I know he means well, but like there's certain things he shouldn't say that he does. Mm-hmm. So it's mostly that, I would say. But no, generally speaking, my parents are a vibe. Like they're fun to be around. And so that's good.
Your opinion, because you find them fun.
Because I have a similar sense of humor. Like the way I view fun is, can they joke? Can they laugh? Will they poke fun at things? Yes. Well, then I'm having a good time. Versus I don't like doing the thing that like, that's maybe more like Megan's parents, which is like very uncomfortably like buttoned up. I want to be able to like, and I'm not trying to let loose in terms of like get drunk off my ass or anything, but more like just like low laugh, joke. Yeah, you know?
That brunch felt very stuffy. And I think like part of it is like maybe being at a neutral location would have boded better. Like instead of like at the family's house, like maybe we needed to be at a restaurant, like just like a neutral location. Like
I agree with that. I think it's very intimidating. That's a really good point, actually. Like, I feel like the move is a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because you have to behave yourself in public, right?
Yeah, should. That too. That too.
At least.
That too. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then it wouldn't have, like, been such, like, a discrepancy between both parents' worlds. And I'm saying this, like, I mean, of course, like, my parents and Adam's parents met literally at our house, but there was no blowups, thank goodness. I definitely understand feeling embarrassed about what your parents, your mom, I mean, like, my dad, like, my dad passed away when I was, like, 19. I don't really, like, have, like, much experience with my dad type of thing. However, like, I don't really think, like, my dad would have embarrassed, but I don't know. I don't know my dad as an adult, so can't really say much for that. But yeah, and I gotta be honest with you, but this blow up, I'm not really surprised. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm not surprised that Megan's parents, like, wanted this marriage annulled. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, number one, I think that, like, maybe if the dinner went, like, perfectly, then maybe that would be a different case. But, like, also, okay, imagine this. You're at brunch with your daughter and your daughter's brand new husband, and you literally watch your daughter's brand new husband have a blow up and a fight in your house. It's like, I can just imagine, like, oh no, like, what does that look like for, like, my daughter and, like, my daughter's safety? Like, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? I think it's all very tricky. I understand where they're coming from. I think suggesting, especially, like, this was so out of the blue, like, the marriage, you know, like, they don't know Sean well at all. They don't know Sean's family. And now all of a sudden their daughter is married to this man who's yelling at his father. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I
also foresee, because, like, the thing for me was that this entire time when Sean was having these money issues, I, in the back of my head, was like, well, Megan has money, so I'm not really worried. But if Megan gets cut off from her parents, then she doesn't have money anymore. Their, like, Hail Mary is non-existent.
Exactly.
And now there's two people with no freaking money and no way to pay for anything. Yeah. And I foresee that as a big problem. And, money financials is usually one of the, like, the top three things that couples argue about. Like, that's, like, some of the biggest issues in a relationship, in a marriage. So, but I also kind of see that, think that these two are endgame. Like, I cannot imagine them getting, like, a divorce in this.
No, I think they'll figure it out. I think this is just, like, typical of any young couple, honestly. Like, you're gonna go through some money problems slash, like, I mean, the first getting married in and of itself is stressful. Meeting your other your partner's parents is stressful. Like, all of this is very stressful. And so then to add on money troubles to it it's gonna be a tough thing for them to get over and get through. But
the communication is really awful, especially because, like, even Sean, because, like, okay, so essentially Sean's stuff, the repo man comes, just like The Sims, the repo man comes.
Oh my God, the repo man in The Sims was the worst.
With a giant repo gun, and you start blasting all the stuff.
Yes, and he'd suck up all your shit, and it was like, bro, stop, I know I'm poor, but come on.
So the repo man comes, my worst nightmare.
Yeah,
absolutely terrifying. Tastes all of Sean's stuff, and he basically tells Noel and Ben that the floors are being redone, and that's where all their stuff went.
This is awful. Like, and I understand, again, it's a pride thing, like you said earlier, but man, you gotta be honest with these people at some point. Like, everyone goes through money woes, and, like, half the freaking characters are going through money problems. All, you know,
everybody except, I think, Noel, because he just got a lot of money, but he didn't have money before because he didn't have a job. And Elena, everybody else is a poor-o.
Yeah, everyone's struggling.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Speaking of Noel, I want to talk about what he goes through this episode of, like, okay, he has been married to Natalie for long enough now that I don't know if it was actually like a trust or what it is, but the money kicks in. So he gets this money and it's like he feels very guilty about it. He feels very ashamed about it. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do with it. Oh, maybe I'll move out into a new apartment. Like, I'll get a place with an office and I can work and blah, 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 blah. Then he tries to give money to Felicity because she gets like denied for financial aid for that year. So she's going to have to come up with her own tuition money or get a scholarship. So he tries to give her money. She's smart enough to be like, nah, I am not mixing like friends and money, not happening.
Yeah.
And so she denies him. And then when Sean does the whole pitch about the flavored pen caps, Noel's like, are you okay, man? Like, are you right?
Yeah, I know it's the only one that's like financially, or not financially, is emotionally intelligent to be like, something is off.
Yeah.
And okay. Sean finally is like, I'm in a bind. And then he's like, well, I can lend you money. This thing is like, this money is like burning a hole in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, it's a lot of money. And then Noel's like, it's fine. And he writes him a check. We don't know how much the check's for, but it's enough for Sean to pay off the debt that he owes to pay the rent, and it's enough for him to buy a cubic zirconia ring, which like could probably be like $5. I don't know.
They're very cheap. So yeah,
it could be. Yeah. So like I can imagine this ring being less than like $100.
Cubic zirconia is like you could buy it at Claire's. So he bought her a Claire's ring, and I'm not judging. I'm just literally saying
she was very happy about it. So she didn't care, but it was just like enough for him to pay off. I mean, like, how much do you think the money was?
Do we remember how much Noel is getting? Do they say how much?
$50,000.
$50,000. I'm going to say $25,000 at least is going to Sean.
Wow, that's a lot. I was thinking 20. So I think I was like kind of like right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see if this causes any friction between them. Like Noel and Sean weren't like the closest of friends, right? Like I would put
actually could be a good thing.
Because exactly.
Honestly, my parents always said like don't lend money to friends.
Yep. And
like
it's a bad idea.
That always like stuck with me. Now, like I've actually had to be in a position where I've asked friends for money and like I've felt really guilty about it. I did pay my debts off, I believe. Do I owe you money?
No.
Okay, good. But I've always heard that, and that's because like I think like my parents lent money to my uncle and then there was like a big drama, blah 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 blah. So like I've always heard that. So
I think the move is if you're gonna lend money to someone, don't do it with the expectation you're going to get that money back.
Oh, that's a great, that's
the move. Cause if like, truly, if you're like, take the couple hundred, to, you know, whatever amount it is, take this money. I don't need it. You do. I think you have to put it out of your, you have to give this money freely without hope of ever seeing it back, because that's going to cause friction between you and that other person if they don't pay you back. And then if they do, hey, bonus money.
Bonus money. I think that's very well said. And I think that that's the right mentality to have. But I think that people like genuinely, I think like it's like there's a difference between like asking for thousands and asking for hundreds. I mean, yes and no. It's like it's the sentiment as well. Like, are you trying to like, are you like avoiding them? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's also like how much you have, right? Like $100 to one person is very different than $100 for another person, you know?
Exactly. That's very true. So, I think like it's all very interesting. And I think that like, number one, I think that this was the sweetest deal of all time. Be married to somebody for 1 year, get $50,000. Sign me up. I would have done every year in my 20s, I would have married another bitch and then racked in those 50,000s. I would have done that. No problemo. Everybody could be a U.S. citizen, honestly. No, I can't say that. Not on the radio anymore. Just kidding. Only certain people that fit certain criteria. Anyway.
So that's everything going on kind of with both Sean and Noel. Let's get Elena out of the way, because she has a pretty simple, straightforward storyline, which is that she's missing Tracy. She wants to call him. She wants to talk to him. It feels weird that it's just over. But she's at least she understands, like, no, I don't want to get married, so I did the right thing. I mean, it's like typical breakup storyline, right? Of like, I'm struggling to move on from this person.
Yeah. Tracy decided to go on another missionary trip, which I think is probably the right move for him. And she's definitely trying to be like, what do I do? And her storyline connects with Ben a little bit, because what I think is we're setting up another relationship for Elena. Because Jessica, were you seeing the vibes between Ben's new lab partner and Elena?
Yes. Trevor, right? I think is his name. Trevor. This guy I actually recognize.
Oh, who is he? I have no idea.
He is from, there was this show called Harper's Island. It was a one season miniseries that was like a murder mystery, and he played Henry on it. Very early aughts, like everyone has side bangs, you know? Oh.
This guy's kind of a joker, which makes me realize that Elena 1000% has a type.
She loves the guy that jokes.
Yeah, not in terms of like looks, but like strictly in terms of like personality. Like, she loves the joker. She loves somebody that makes her laugh. And I think that that's really good for Lena, because she is typically very serious. So I do think that that personality archetype is right for her. So like, this guy's like very unserious, like probably a little bit too unserious for her.
But they do have similar interests in terms of like, he is in the pre-med, like he's in like OChem classes.
Okay, so he like made it, but also he's like totally the guy that is like, you do the work, I'll take the credit, which I think will piss Elena off. So like, I'm curious if this guy is like actually smart. I mean, he's smart enough to get into med school, but is he like...
But so is Ben.
True.
and it's pre-med. It's not even real med school.
Okay, very true. Okay,
so maybe he's struggling in class. Like, this feels also, can we just say, Ben should have found a better partner. Like,
they suit each other. Like, but also,
that's the problem. They're both so shitty. They need someone who can carry the team a little more.
If Ben's the one that's carrying the team, I think that we have like a problem here.
Well,
but
that's what I'm saying. And they end up like, it's again, men will do anything not to go to therapy. It's like so many of these problems on this show is like, this person just won't communicate because they're a guy and it's emasculating. Mm-hmm. But he overhears Elena talking to Felicity about him becoming a doctor. Yeah. And she is very much like, I don't think he can hack it. Like, I think it's going to be too tough for him. And he overhears that.
Yeah, that sounds very like it sounds like Elena's voice. Like, I mean, meaning like it, that tracks for Elena to think that.
But and, also, yeah, I think anybody would, right? Like, oh, on a whim, this guy wants to be a doctor.
Well, she's also 4 years in this like program, and she's seen these people come and go. So like, exactly. I think it's like a very like realistic interpretation. And they're having like a conversation behind closed doors that they think is private. And like, I think like Felicity is saying the right things. Like, hey, like, I think if Ben really tries, he can do it. Blah, blah, blah. But Ben overhears it. He gets his feelings hurt. And Elena was supposed to help him with this lab. But now he's like, I'm going to figure it out. And I do like the reaction to Felicity hearing that he, even though he lied, that he figured it out. Because like, or like her facial reaction was like, see, I told you. And Elena was like, that's pretty cool. So I really liked that little moment. But yeah, so he tries, he fails. This guy, this professor is still like really tough on him. But Ben's not going to give up, which I really appreciate. Ultimately, Elena does help him. And then this is where the Trevor, I guess his name is, and Elena meet. Because basically he comes in and then it's like, apparently it's like mug day. And I really did like when Trevor was like, hey, you should come to mug day. And she's like, but I don't have a mug. And then he like whips out a beaker. I thought that was very funny. You can bring in a mug. It doesn't matter. So I'm interested to seeing how that plays out. It seems like it would probably be like a nice little like 3-episode arc relationship until we find out that he's like too unserious for her and too much of a joker, not motivated enough. And then she breaks it off with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is more of like a fling, a rebound, like a
distraction from Tracy.
Exactly. Which I'm not mad at. And like Trevor seems wholly unserious, which feels like probably what Elena is going to need in this moment. Mm-hmm. So that's everything going on with like Ben and his classes. Like he is putting forth the effort and they do end up making it work. They end up like successfully creating whatever the hell they were trying to create. Mm-hmm. Truly, I have no idea.
Black goop, but it can't be goopy. It can only be shiny and
yes, shiny black goop, but not goop.
It has to be crystalline and shiny. So I don't know what they're trying to make, but it can't be goopy. But it can be black. So black good, goopy bad,
shiny good.
Shiny good, but crystalline good, but not goopy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So either way, they're successful. That's exciting. And the other thing that's successfully happening that Ben is excited about is him and Felicity get back together. It's been a single fucking episode, Sarah. A single fucking episode. I was incensed. I was like, we lasted one episode with them broken up. That's it.
I'm so over them because like they've done this multiple times.
Yes.
Like, oh, we're over. And then the next episode, somebody comes to somebody's door and is like, what are we doing? And I'm so mad at Felicity. Like, she is awful, 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 awful. She like gets Ben back, but doesn't tell the truth. Like, is like knowingly cheated on him. And is like, oh, it only happened once. So it's like, I don't have to share it with him. But then also it's Noel. Like maybe, I don't know. It's kind of crazy, actually. Felicity is actually kind of the worst, and I'm like not happy with her. I'm not happy that they got back together.
No, I it's too soon. It's like irritating. And now we have like this whole crisis of conscience for Felicity where they're back together, but she still hasn't told him about what happened with Noel. So this is terrible. Like, it feels like a moment of weakness for Felicity where she really was missing Ben. And so he comes to her door and says, I want to get back together. And she immediately is like, oh, thank God. Yes. But like, girl, you can't say yes and get back together with him until you tell him about what happened with Noel. And this is all just like weighing on her so heavily. I was so happy to see her like at least get it off her chest with someone other than Dr. Pavone. And Sarah, I'm pretty sure that I had predicted that like the way Ben is going to find out is a slip of the tongue by Javier. And so to have Javier be the one she tells was so perfect and juicy and a way to get Javier involved. So I was very happy.
I kind of forgot that you had said that, but I totally can see that how that could happen. Such a it's gonna be a mess, honestly. Not even a good mess, just like, really, it's gonna be a disaster, truly.
Yeah, it's so sloppy because again, Javier, I love Javier so much. He does not have a poker face, okay? Like, she tells him she cheated on Ben, and then next time he sees Noel, he's so awkward and weird. Yeah. And like, when Noel walks away, he's like, oh, that was so awkward, wasn't it? And Felicity looks at him and she's like, yeah, it was a little awkward, kind of saying like, because of you.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, Sarah, I think you need to add this to your rotation of things you say, of quotes you say by Javier, because there was the muffin one. Was it no basket or no muffin for you,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, that was funny.
But my lips are glue sticks. That's my new favorite thing. My lips are glue sticks.
Yeah, my lips are glue sticks, which I guess makes sense.
It's so funny. I love, instead of my lips are sealed, my lips are glue sticks. He's not going to say anything. And we get a little bit more backstory on Javier and about how, like, he came to the city because he wanted to be an actor, but like, he got one bad, like, casting call or whatever, and he never returned to it.
Yeah. Remember how I said a couple of episodes that, like, it's okay to dream, but don't dream too big.
Yes.
Same thing applies to Javier. Same thing
Oh, poor guy. But he does get in the chorus. He like secures his spot in the chorus for some
like
show.
Anybody can get into the chorus of an off Broadway show. I can get into the chorus.
I love him. He's just,
yeah, you're gonna love him so much when he ruins fucking Felicity's life in a couple of episodes and destroys Ben's heart.
Oh my gosh. So that's what's happening with Javier, and Felicity is like both having a crisis of conscience with now being back together with Ben, but every time she kisses him she feels like this overwhelming sense of guilt.
Yeah.
And also having to deal with money woes, because we talked about earlier she gets denied for financial aid. This man that denies her financial aid, the audacity of him to be like, here's a book you can have, it's gonna help you get scholarships, and then be like, oh, but BT dubs, it's $35, which is essentially half the money I just gave you.
that was pretty rough.
What a dick.
But also, like, we can't be giving away big ass books all the time.
No, but then just be like, oh, you could buy it at the bookshop. I don't know. This was so rude. And so she's looking at all these scholarships. She's like applied to one, but because it's in a book and not on the internet, it's like doesn't even exist anymore. And so I don't know. She asks, she's like, says she needs to send in a photo with one of these scholarships. And I'm like, is she entering the beauty pageant? Like, she has to be. And no scholarship asks for a photo.
Yeah, probably not, but I sure, if we want to enter a beauty pageant, that's fine. She'll win. Good for her.
But it's gonna be big Dawson's Creek vibes. Yeah. On my own.
I do like how Javier was like, yeah, like the majority of women receive scholar. I forget what the quote was, but like, I mean, beauty pageants there's like a lot of like societal issues in terms of just like objectifying women, but also it is a platform where women can better themselves. There's an air of like sisterhood and connection, and they do philanthropy, and in addition to that, like, it does grant people money. So like, there's bad that is with it, but there's also good. So I can see her winning this and getting the scholarship. The one that she wanted to do, which was art, wasn't going to give her, like, had ended. It no longer existed. Right. So, I mean, we have to do something. She has to pay for school somehow, I guess.
Yeah. So she's seemingly, in my opinion, going to enter this beauty contest because...
Next episode?
I think so, because she sends in a photo. It feels like that's what they're setting up, right? Where, like, she might enter a beauty... Maybe that's where Ben finds out. Maybe it's at the beauty pageant. All the drama happens.
Oh, that doesn't seem good for her winnings if Ben's running around ranting and raving.
You know what's better for her winnings, though? Her having... better hair this season.
Better hair. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. She wouldn't have won a beauty pageant last season.
Yeah.
She would have won an ugly pageant. Wow, Burn.
So anything else we need to talk about this episode? I do think it's going to come out in the next two episodes that that Noel and Felicity fucked.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad. It's really bad. Like, I got to be honest, like, if we were doing rankings today, Felicity would be at the bottom. Like, I do not agree with, like, anything that she's up to right now.
It's all bad.
I think it's very, very bad. Like, I'm glad that she's, like, trying to do things on her own and be an adult. And she didn't take Noel's money. But aside from that, like, I've pretty much liked nothing that she's done this season thus far. But we're only on episode three.
I was going to say, we're only three episodes in. So there's still
it felt like nine.
Who do we want? Who was the winner of this episode?
I think for me, it was Noel, because like, I think that like, even though he got the money, I mean, like, his options were, you know, give it to somebody that like needs it, or reject the money and it goes to the lawyer's bonus pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm glad that. I'm glad that he was like trying to do good with this money that he doesn't feel that great about. So that's who I would give it to.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, we can give it to Noel. All right, let's get into some feedback that we got. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod.com or shit90spod@gmail.com. We got an email from Jamie, who says, last week, Sarah posed the question, if Elena and Tracy's families were going to get reimbursed for the wedding, Megan and Sean took over. Well, I would say after watching this episode, it's a resounding no. I don't know if the show wanted us to feel bad or sympathize with Sean, but I did not.
Really?
Sean has not paid his rent in 3 months, yet he spent his entire summer in Switzerland with Megan. Maybe he should have stayed in New York and, I don't know, maybe gotten a job. It is possible for him to have a job and work on his inventions. He and Megan should definitely have not gotten married. I hate that Noel gave Sean all his money. Noel needs that money because he still hasn't found a job. And so he could use a little security for himself. Plus, no way is Sean going to ever pay him back. And Noel should not still be roommates with Ben after what happened with Felicity. Mm-hmm. Nothing good is going to happen with Noel still living there.
Yeah.
Do you think Noel just wants an excuse to stay so he can be close to Felicity? He is clearly very much in love with her.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a big part of it. I absolutely do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think even if it's not on the top of his mind, I think that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah. I think like I just keep forgetting that Sean literally just doesn't have a job. So like it seems impossible. Like, how has he been doing this for all these years? So I know.
He needs to get a job.
Like,
yeah.
You're probably right. Like, if he hasn't, like, if he hasn't had a job in all this time, and it's just been like living off of old savings or credit cards, then the man needs to get a job, and he really needs to communicate with his wife that he has no money, because they are going to be in a really bad situation in an episode or two when Megan's completely cut off and she's like, okay, Sean, like, how much savings do you have? Like, what do we work off of? And he's like, I have zero savings.
I have negative money,
$90,000 in credit card debt. And she's gonna be like, well, we're fucked.
Yeah. Before I go on to Felicity and Ben, I just wanted to clarify something from last week's podcast. Jess mentioned that Felicity told Noel she didn't want to forget about what happened between them, but that was actually only part of what she said. Oh, good. When Noel told her, let's just forget, her reply was, I don't want to forget about it. That's not what I want. Or maybe I do. I don't know what I want. She seemed confused about whether or not she wanted to forget about it. However, in this episode, it seems pretty clear that she does want to forget about it. From telling Javier it was a mistake to accepting Ben's offer to forget everything and start the year over. Historically, Felicity has not been a great liar. Do we really think she's going to be able to keep this secret from Ben? And do you ladies have any guesses on how Ben will find out?
I think that just guessing that's through Javier is like a pretty good guess.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to happen. If there is a beauty pageant, I think it's going to happen at the beauty pageant. And I think it's going to be Javier's fault, which would be fun. Not for Javier, but A few last things. I wish we had gotten a scene where Felicity tells Noel that she's getting back together with Ben and why. We needed more insight on that. And also in this episode, there was a scene between Ben and Elena, and it got me thinking, I don't see these characters having a shared having shared a solo scene together. I don't know why, but I did like their dynamic now that Ben is pre-med, and I hope we get to see them becoming closer friends because I really enjoyed their scenes together. Although I have to say, even with Elena's help, I'm still not buying that Ben could figure out that O-chem stuff.
No. I've always heard that O-chem was like the hardest class that you could possibly take. It's like the fail pass rate is like a very skewed towards fail.
Yeah.
But I did like their scenes together too. Like I kind of was like not feeling vibes, but just feeling scene chemistry.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear. So thank you so much, Jamie. Also, apparently the next episode that we're going to watch is the one that Jamie saw at the dentist in the waiting room because it was playing.
Oh. It was really funny.
So let's hear what DBK has to say about this episode.
What up, though, ladies? All right. Your money or your wife? This is like a big Sean and Megan episode. We get to meet Sean's parents. We get to see Megan's parents again. Good stuff for Megan and Sean this episode. Sad ending for them, though, that Megan's parents are going to disown her. I mean, I think Megan likes being rich, so this is... I don't know if I like where this is going to go, guys. Let's see. What else? Did you guys recognize Trevor? No, yes. You guys didn't recognize Trevor. Come on. You're Buffy experts. You recognize Trevor, right? No. You guys, we already talked about this, how Trevor is the ghost kid from the episode where the teacher has an affair.
Oh.
And then he like shoots her. And then that keeps happening in the future.
Yes.
And they have to like break the cycle. And they do it by him shoot or Buffy shooting Angel or whatever.
Yes.
Because Angel can't die. So that like breaks the cycle. That's Trevor. Also, Greg Grunberg's brother, Joey, in this episode is actually, or sorry, Sean. Sean's brother, Joey, in this episode is actually Greg Grunberg's real brother.
Oh,
that's what they look like,
Sarah.
I saw like
Julie Grunberg did story. I wonder if that's like their sister. But anyways, yeah. And then we get the setup that Felicity might do a beauty pageant in the future. Javier is in school for acting, I guess, or was that like a school play that he was trying out for?
Maybe.
Yeah, and then we get to just to tie up with what happened with Noel and Natalie. He got the money. Is the assumption that like Natalie's going to pay for a divorce now, or are they still married? Yeah, and anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
I don't know that we got confirmation. I thought they were waiting to get the money and then they were going to get a divorce.
Yeah, I thought that was the arrangement. Like they have to like be married for a year and then they'll get the money. I thought that was what it was.
Well, I guess we'll see. All right, let's hear what Temmie has to say about this episode.
It's your friend Temmie, and welcome to the voicemail for the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast.
Wow.
DVK, what would you... What will your panel be of celebrities or people you'd like to get to know or interview? Me, I would like to get to know you better, bro.
Oh,
and Jamie, please answer too if it pleases you. I believe that the author, performer, etc. is your friend. This is the analogy that AJ made to Joey when she mentioned that Little Women was her favorite book.
Oh.
Because one of the daughters in the book is the origin for her name. So the quote, the book is like a friend. It's an interesting establishing moment to understand that celebrities can be like indirect friends, and you can maybe find others like Jason Segel from I Love You Man, or Oprah, or Michelle Obama, or for me, Tina Fey. Once you understand, you can focus or survey the scene for what you want. And then as regards to this episode, who are these people like Sean and his mom who kiss on the lips? And if it came to that, I'd give my mom the stiff arm. The French and Europeans do la bise. Kisses on both cheeks. That's better.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done la bise? I tried it once out of the blue, and it was awkward. I had bad pickings that day. And oh my God, Noel is Dawson. May Worthington be worthy of her. That's what Jen said in that episode when Dawson offered Joey tuition money.
That's right. But
Sean ends up being Joey. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that Sean's dad was James Gandolfini before he passed away. And would you a boombox again after you watch Say Anything in this episode? Thanks. Bye.
There were so many things in that. First of all, I love our listeners talking to each other via feedback. It's like
they just want to talk to each other. They don't. Yeah. They don't watch.
They could be friends. And then, Dawson and Noel connection. I had totally forgotten the whole tuition thing with Dawson. Well,
we've been saying that Ben is Pacey, so
yeah,
Dawson, Noel.
That's yeah. True. Wow. Temmie, never change. I need to take notes when Temmie's voicemails play, because then I miss half of it, because then my brain moves into other directions as he's talking.
Yeah. Was Sean's dad James Gandolfini?
I don't think so. James Gandolfini is Tony Soprano. I don't think
he's just a lookalike. James Gandolfini impersonator, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you want to send us in feedback, shitnunniespod.com, shitnunniespod@gmail.com is the way to do it. Sarah, do you want to know what next week's episode is called?
Yes.
Season 4, episode 4. Ooh, I feel like, yep, nail on the head. It is called Misconception, as in M-I-S-S, space conception. Like,
oh,
possibly.
Baby?
It's a beauty pageant. What?
Conception.
Okay, but like misconception is a word. But yeah. This is Miss Space Conception, like Miss United States, Miss Carolina, yeah. Miss...
Yeah, but that's a weird thing, conception.
Sure, but it could be just like misconception. Like there's a misconception.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Either way, it's sure to be a doozy. We're going to be joined by friend of the podcast and repeated guest, Tom Palmer.
Oh, exciting. It's going to be messy.
I feel like it's going to be messy. I can't remember. Do we know if Tom is Tom's teen Noel? So,
yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, Tom is really just like team mess, but like I think actually I think that Tom said that he randomly selects episodes now to make it less obvious if there's unless that's just,
you know, what no that might be a Buffy misdirect. Thing because Buffy he chooses bad episodes.
Yeah, I don't know, it could be a misdirect.
You can't read into what Tom Palmer does, but either way he'll mm-hmm. be on the next podcast for season 4 episode 4 Misconception. So that should be a ton of fun. In the meantime, check out our Buffy content. We are also in season 4 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and having a pretty dang good time of it. So go check that out. And then over on Whirlwind Podcast, they just celebrated their 1-year anniversary, Sarah.
Yeah, we celebrated 1 year today of Whirlwind Podcast. So yeah. We released an episode with some of the founders of Whirlwind. And kind of just talked about, you know, how we started, where it came from, some of like the insights. And then we posted some clips from some of our favorite moments as well. So if you want to hear that, check it out on Whirlwind Podcasts.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's where you can find all of that. And of course, we'll be back next week with season 4, episode 4, Misconception. And until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.